Welcome to the podcast of Encounter Ministries International. This message ministered by Leon Dupria will bring supernatural transformation to your life, and we also believe that you will have an unforgettable encounter with the supernatural God. For more free resources such as sermons, videos, photos, and information on this ministry, please visit our website at www.encounterint.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube by searching for Encounter Ministries International or Leon Dupria. We hope that this message will be a blessing to you.
Tonight, you're going to experience incredible breakthrough in the glory of God. I'm going to release something very short, but I just took some notes here. I'm not even going to preach off it. I just want to be quick. Let's everybody say with me, worship. Say with me again, say worship. Worship is what takes us into the glory, into the manifest presence of God. Let me just explain to you why Satan hates worship. When a believer cannot lift their hands in the air and worship Him, that's all the devil wants. The devil wants us to worship Him like this. But after you're going to come out of revival and experiencing life and glory in this place as this week, you're going to go from worshiping Him like this. Oh Lord, we love You. To worshiping Him like this. And when your eyes, hands are raised, our eyes are automatically closed. Why does the devil hate when we worship Him? Listen, there are three archangels. There was three archangels. There's two now. There's more, but in Scripture. The archangel Michael, which was a warrior angel. Say with me, a warrior. W, I call it the three W's. Then you had Gabriel, that was the messenger. He brought the word. So it is another W. Gabriel was also an archangel, and he brought the word. Then you had the other archangel, which is Lucifer. He was an angel. He is now a fallen angel. But Lucifer was in charge of worship. Are you guys with me? Let me just explain to you a few things. I want to get down here. Please don't drop the sound or mix it for me when I move. Please don't. Lucifer was in charge of worship in heaven. He led heaven into worship to God. His name means light bearer, bearer of light, bearer of revelation, which means that he was, when he was worshiping God in heaven, Lucifer would set the tone of revelation. That is why worshiping in a church is so important, and that is why I love Hatfield Christian Church North. I've been to some churches, you step into it, me and my team, and it's like you step into 50 years back into time. And I'm thinking, what the heck's going on? Where's the heavenly worship? And you guys are worshiping tonight. But listen, so Satan, Lucifer, before he was called Satan, was in charge of worship. A worship leader sets the tone of revelation in the church. But how many of you know that God kicked Lucifer out of heaven because of pride and rebellion? And what did God do after He kicked him out of heaven? He made you and I. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 26, that God says, let us make man in our image. You still have the warrior angel, which is Michael. You still have the word angel, which is Gabriel. But the worship angel is kicked out of heaven. And God said, I'm going to create myself a creation. And I'm going to put myself into that creation. That when they worship me, when they lift up their hands in worship, that Satan will look at them and Satan will see what he once had, where he once was, and where he fell from. Because Satan was fired and you and I was hired as worship leaders. That is why we must worship Him. That is why when you and I lift our hands, we make Satan upset. When you lift your hands, he sees where he once had. He sees where he has fallen from. And it reminds him and he hates it. That, let me just get into identity. I'm going to go get now into the shadow of God. But I first want to get identity. The Bible says, then God created man. He said, let us therefore create man, make man in our image and our likeness. Say with me, our image and our likeness. I believe tonight, even as we listen, one wave is going to come in towards the end. If you are in your chair or in your seat and you need a creative miracle tonight, I want you to snatch it. Spirit of God said to me, bones, those that even have steel in their bodies will be turned to bone. If you have steel in your neck, in your back, nothing is impossible with God. In the realm of the glory, you are complete. You are complete. There is no sickness. We had so many testimonies, and Pastor Gibbard is going to, if he feels led to share, but one man's debt, I mean, his whole house got paid off. A young person. Young people, I sowed myself out of poverty. This thing that we mustn't speak to young people about finances is over. I sowed myself out of poverty. God is raising up millionaires below the ages of 21 years old. He can give you one idea, one creation, one thought. Do you know that the purpose of God for your life is the thoughts of God? God thought and you were made. God thought and you were given a purpose. God thought and you were given a blueprint. You are a thought of God in motion. Now the Bible says, let us therefore make man in our image. In the Hebrew it says it like this. Like God, did God make man? I'm going to say it again. I want you to drop in your spirit. How many of you believe that God is supernatural? If you can raise your hands. How many of you believe that God is an all-consuming fire? How many of you believe that He is a miracle-working God? Like God, did God make man? Like God, did God make you and I sitting in this place in His image, in His likeness, to become one with the one? Now, we lost that image. Adam and Eve lost that image. But over 2,000 years ago, there was one whose name was Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that He came to bring and restore us back to the image of the Son. Are you guys with me? That when you and I behold Him in the glory, listen, when the presence of the glory, Sunday night, Monday night, last night, God did a deep work. But there were moments where the glory would come in. It is in that place where your spirit is at home. It is in that place where there is life. Say with me, let me just get this. Say with me, the power of God. I'm going to share with you tonight. Listen, as I said, that when we worship, when we lift up our hands, you know, the scientists and the doctors will tell you, if there's a doctor that is here, that the nerve in your hand is connected to the nerve in your eye, and the nerve in your feet is connected to the nerve in your eye. That's why the Bible says lifting up of holy hands. When we lift up holy hands, I always ask people, lift up your hands, close your eyes. Then you begin to see in the spirit. When you lift up your, I haven't seen anybody lifting up their hands with their eyes open. When you lift up your hands and you're in the spirit, automatically your eyes close, because the temporal world is becoming unseen and the unseen world is becoming real to you. That is why King David said that I will dance before the Lord, because when he would dance and jump, he would see into his future. When I would lift up my hands in my room and all hell breaks loose against me, I would see into my future. That is why the Bible says that Enoch walked with God and suddenly he was not, for God took him. As he was walking, he was seeing God. He was seeing into his future. And the Bible says that when we behold the glory, we will be changed into that same image. Enoch had such a revelation of God that as he was walking, his spiritual eyes opened. He saw so much of God that God had to take him. He had to go up to heaven. Enoch walked with God. The Bible says the Bible and suddenly was not. The word walked means to become intertwined, to become one with the one. He had such a lifestyle that he walked with God and suddenly he was not. Say with me, power. I want to minister to you just quickly, and I'm going to throw this out. Just, I want you to listen to me. I'm not going to go too high. There's actually six dimensions of power, which I'm not going to get into. I'll share with you five. If you're hungry, I might throw out the sixth one, but if not, then I'm not going to. throw it out. But there's five dimensions of the power. You need to pull revelation out of me. Otherwise, the gift isn't going to work. Amen. Say, I must pull it out. Say, snatch it. Go like this with your hand. Say, snatch it. The word snatch it means to receive in the Bible. If you ever you see the word receive, it means to snatch it, literally. I'm just trying to get my thoughts here together. I want to just get into identity, then I'm going to get into the power. There are five dimensions of power. I'm not here to teach. Pastor Gibbard is an excellent teacher. I'm not here to teach on that, but I want to throw out keys. I want you to grab these five dimensions because the church only knows two. And the church only operates in two. But there are five dimensions that we as every believer can walk with God. The purpose of this conference, say with me, activation. We preach like mad possessed people because revelation comes out. As ek nou moet hier so staan en soos 'n dooie demonie moet praat. And I must stand very, but if I have life in me, and the word is life, it's revelation. If I'm in my room the whole day and I pray, and God gives me a now word, it's revelation. Revelation brings impartation, which means that when Pastor Gebert preaches from the pulpit, he preaches revelation. Revelation will always bring movement in your spirit. It'll feel like something is jumping. It'll feel like you cannot sit still. You have to stand up. You have to grab a hold of it because it is alive and is a now word of God. Jesus said, I do not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes and proceeds out of the mouth of God. When I receive a now word from heaven, one word of God is enough to sustain my whole life. But it must be revelation. Revelation will then bring impartation. So when he lays hands and I myself lays hands on you, you'll receive impartation. Some people, I can lay hands on them, they're as dead as this pulpit. This pulpit receives more anointing. So when I lay hands on them, it's like I can transfer more anointing into this pulpit. The anointing is determined by our heart condition. If our heart is open, revelation is preached, and lay hands. It's not about falling over or not falling over. It's not about that. It's about receiving. Many people, we lay hands on them and their hearts are hardened by offense, religion, unbelief, wounds, sins. Their heart is hardened and they are unable to receive the anointing. That's why revelation must pierce it through. Once revelation pierces it through, impartation takes place. Once there is impartation and you receive the spirit of the house, the spirit of the Father in this house, there then is what we call activation. That is when the gifts that is dormant on the inside of you is activated. When you before tried to pray for healing, nothing happened. And now you lay your hands on people, they'll get healed because the gift is activated on the inside of you. God wants His people to be activated. Everybody in this church to be activated. I don't care if you are just an employee in Checkers. God wants to activate you and He wants to bring promotion that you lay hands and that you preach wherever you are. It's one touch of the power of God. It's revelation, impartation, activation. Once there's activation, there will be demonstration. People can only demonstrate God once they've been activated. May this night, every person that is hungry and that has faith, may you be activated. Listen, it's not about the man that stands up here. I have people in my team that is more anointed than me when they lay hands on people. They have more gifts of healing. I pray for somebody with blind eyes, nothing happened. They come, they lay hands, the blind eyes pop open. God has gifts to activate in every saint. Every single one of you can get into this place. I want you to leave this place. I want you to leave tonight empowered, encouraged, and provoked to take on the presence and the power of God. And like Matthew 11 verse number 12 says, that the kingdom of God has suffered violence, but the violent will take it by force. It must be taken by force. I must grab hold of it. Like I said, the kingdom of God is being preached, but unless everybody is pressing into it, nothing happens. Luke chapter number 16, verse number 16. As I preach, don't sit dormant because your wife or your husband is going to think, what are you doing jumping up? When revelation comes, my spirit is alive. I listen, we've been in churches, Pastor Gibb, but the people throw watches. They have nothing to give, but the spirit has to give something. I have sowed my iWatch when I didn't have money. I have sowed because God is a giving nature. When there's revelation, I just want to give. When you give of yourself, you become like God. Because God says He gave His only begotten Son. He so loved the world that He gave. Hallelujah. Say with me, the power of God. Identity. Like God, did God make man? I don't want to be long, but I want to get these points through to you. I believe, and I want to prophesy over someone, I believe God is going to do something. And we don't want to be too late tonight, but I feel the presence. How many of you enjoyed this conference? If you are not in this church, and you are in a dead church, please come to this church. If you are not in this church, and you have a great church, go back and be fruitful. Amen. But if you have a dead church, come here because the presence of God is here. The glory of God is here. You see, I was going to read a scripture and you guys can maybe put it on the screen. I just want to drop the foundation of who you are. So many people have a self-defeatism mentality. And all they think about is the devil is reminding them. Like Pastor Gebert was saying, one of the words of Satan, one of the names is Diablo. Diabalo. To pierce through the mind with satanic suggestions. And what the devil does is throws satanic suggestions. You are bad. You cannot do that. You are bad. You cannot do that. Like Pastor Gabriel said last night, listen, in the Garden of Eden, the first thing Satan says was revealed in nakedness. But how was their nakedness revealed? Let me just drop a secret for you. Adam and Eve lost the fear of God. I want you just to stay with me with this. When Eve spoke to the snake, how many of you know she spoke to the snake? The snake said to her, did God really say? Did God say you're going to be a great man? Did God say you're going to be a multimillionaire? Did God say that you're going to be an evangelist or a prophet? Satan has no power but suggestion. Are you guys with me? Once he gets us with suggestion, then his power becomes real. So he said to Eve, listen here, did God say? And Eve answered him, yes, God said, we cannot eat from the fruit of the tree of the garden. How many of you know it is totally nuts to talk to a snake? Just stay with me. How many of you want a meat? Okay, that's five people. How many of you want a meat, a piece of meat in the spirit? I need you to be hungry, guys. I need you to be hungry. The scholars tells me this, that Eve comfortably spoke to the snake because there were prior conversations and she became comfortable to the voice of the snake. That's why she talked to him like a person. And many times as believers, when we lose the fear of God, we become comfortable with the voice of sin and we begin to entertain that voice in our head. And once we were saved, God says, don't go to the nightclub, and we get convicted. But then we go a year or two later, we begin to entertain the thought. We begin to entertain the thought of pornography. We begin to entertain that thought, and what happens is we become comfortable with the voice of the devil. The scholars say that Eve had prior conversations with the snake because no human in their right mind will talk to a snake. So she had to become comfortable. She lost the fear of God. I believe God is going to restore even the fear of God. Say with me, identity. Listen, Satan has power. The Bible says, I shall give you authority to trample over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. It's dunamis power that the devil has. But I'll tell you, I know Pastor Gibbard has touched on this, but I'm going to show you the levels where we are at as believers. You know, I just want to read the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, say with me, in Christ. I shared last night, there's a difference between in Christ and not in Christ, the other night. It says, all things, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. But it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. That word creature in the Greek is kainos, which means this. I wrote it here. It means, listen here, when you and I are in Christ, it means that we are an unheard of creature, a new species of being, an unworn and utterly unique. You are a creature that has never existed before. You are a creature that is superior to the devil and to the demons, and you have superhuman qualities. You have somebody that has never existed before. When God makes you a new creation, you are a special person. Person, a royal priesthood, come on, a chosen generation. You are God's DNA. Say with me, DNA. 1 Peter 1:23. I want to go quickly through this just so that I can get to the five dimensions, and I'm not going to be long. How many of you guys want to hear the five dimensions of power that is available to every believer? Once you tap into that, I'll show you. I don't want to get to it now. There are people that are operating in the kingdom of God. You will not find them on TBN or Christian television. That the Western world is not known of. That does not know them. But they operate on such a realm of power. Jesus said that we shall do greater works than him. Listen, 1 Peter 1:23. I hope I don't offend anybody by this, but it's okay. Says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Say with me, incorruptible. The word seed in the Greek means sperma, sperm. Are you guys with me? Which basically means that you and I, the Bible says when we got born again, we are not born again of corruptible seeds. We are born again of incorruptible heavenly seed. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you carry God's DNA on the inside of you. You are incorruptible. Now, just stay there. Listen, Acts chapter number, I think it is 19. Pastor Gibbert knows the Bible off by heart. But the Apostle Paul says, they said that they bought handkerchiefs and put it on his body. 18. On his body. And they would take it from his body and lay it on the demon possessed, and the demon possessed would give free, and the sick would be healed. If an apron, a handkerchief, can carry the power of God, how much more you and I that are the DNA and the incorruptible seed of heaven. You can take that power tonight home and you can carry it. Come on, come on, come on. Take it. You are much, much more than a handkerchief. You are much, much more than an apron. Are you guys with me? Why do I say that? I want to explain to you how you and I can carry the power of God. This microphone is heavenly tonight. Thank you. Give Jesus and the sound man a praise offering. Let me get to the power of the five dimensions. Why do I say that? So that when I get into the five dimensions, you're not going to get freaked out and you can understand that you can carry the power. That you can carry the power of God. I don't care if a thief comes in by night into my house, I have the power of God on me. I don't care if my wife was alone at home and they would break in with a knife halfway through the window, I know I have the power of God. All you need is to abide in the vine. And when anything happens, listen to me, you will have power and authority in your voice and say, devil, I bind your, listen, when you have the power, you don't go look for a job. I'm going to show you now why not. Because the natural world does not have no power over you. But we need to understand levels, because this is where the church is falling short. The church is operating out of level 1 and 2, but they're expecting the results of 4 and 5, Pastor Gebert, and they're getting disappointed and discouraged. May this message provoke you. This message provoked me. I'm going to provoke you tonight. I'm going to irritate you and prod you until you feel like, my God, I'm going to have to seek His face, and I'm going to fall in love with Him. I have sought His face for over 10 years, and I have not regretted one moment of it. Poverty over my life is broken, even though I had 7% for certain subjects in high school. Your teacher does not hold your future. We were doing a conference about 2,000 young people. I remember we activated them in the power of God. I heard a testimony. The next day, the young lady was sitting in the classroom, and the girl next to her began to scream and began to manifest. And the teacher wanted to stop the class and get somebody. And the girl next to her was activated in our conference that we had under the power of God and said, no, teacher. And she turned to the girl and she began to pray in other tongues, laid hands on her and said, this is a devil. And in the name of Jesus Christ, the God that I serve, come out. And the girl got delivered in the classroom in school. Get activated tonight. How do you get activated? Have faith. Have expectancy. Grab a hold of it by your spirit. You can receive everything that is inside of me, that is inside of Pastor Gebert tonight. 5 dimensions of the power of God. I can preach this without notes, but I just don't want to miss something. Let me just jump a few things here. So I want to prophesy over some. Say with me 5 dimensions. The first dimension is what we call dunamis power. Say dunamis. That is when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. Some are not even yet baptized. This is only the first level of power. It's called dynamite power. Another translation for it is demon tormenting power. Are you guys with me? When you carry dunamis power, you can cast out devils, you can heal the sick. It comes by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to go teach on, I want to get to the other levels. I'm going to show you every level, and I'm going to tell you how to increase it. Because you have to grow in the one level to get to the other one, and grow in the other one to get into the next level. How do I grow in dunamis power? How do I increase dunamis power upon me? When I pray in the Spirit. The more I pray in the Spirit, the more I increase dunamis power on the inside of me. He who prays in an unknown tongue does not speak to man, but speaks to God. For in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Jude chapter number 18 or 20, he will say these words. Listen, it says, the book of Jude says, he who prays in the Holy Spirit builds up his most holy faith. When you pray in the Spirit of God in tongues, I remember, I did a 40-day fast once, and I remember it was every day I prayed 8 hours in other tongues, and the power of God eventually by the 30th day, wherever I would go, my wife was a testimony of it. Whether I was at work, when I worked in the ministry in Umhlanga, whether I was at home, demons would manifest when they come into my vicinity. Because I would pray in tongues a lot, so the dunamis increase. The second dimension of power, say with me, exousia. That is the legal right to power. The legal authority to power. It gives you the legal right to exercise power. Now, there are people in the body of Christ that operates in illegal power. I'm not going to get into it. But Satan also has dunamis power. But what Satan does not have is exousia. He only has exousia, like Pastor Gilbert said, if we give it to him, if we give him place in our lives. But if I don't, like Jesus said, the ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. We must be like Jesus, where we say, devil, you don't have one open door in my life. And when that's the case, you operate in exousia. And the Bible says, I shall give you authority, exousia, to trample over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. exousia dominates dunamis. Are you guys with me? And it gives us the legal right to exercise dunamis. Say with me the third dimension. Okay, wait. How do I increase exousia? Many people don't know this. I'm just going to throw out one key, one sentence. I want you to grab hold of this. If you take this message tonight, if you apply it, your life will be changed. If you apply this over the next few months, your life will be changed. You'll become a world shaker and initiate. You can empty your school when you carry this power upon you. You can carry, lay hands upon your school, and you can get people saved, even as young people, when this power comes upon you. How do I increase exousia? By revelation. It gives me authority. That's right, say Pastor Gibbert. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. How do I get authority? By revelation. The more revelation I get by God is the level of exousia and authority that I will grow in. How many of you know He made us kings and priests unto God? The third, I'm not going to give throughout all the scriptures. The third dimension of the power is what we call iskaos. It is the power, what I call, of consistency. Many people can cast out a devil today and next month they can't. Or they can do it on a Sunday and a Wednesday come and they feel empty. The power of consistency, iskaos, speaks of God's muscles, but it also speaks of an image of oil in an engine, which keeps the engine going. It is the power of character. When the Bible says that you shall cast out devils in my name, it doesn't mean the name of Jesus. When He said in my name, He says in my character. When you carry my character, when you carry my nature, I have seen pastors trying to cast out devils, and I've seen the devil hit them because they do not have the character of Jesus Christ. When I carry His character and His nature, I have iskaos power, which will cause the power, dunamis and exousia, to become consistent in my life. Every day, I'll be walking in power. Every day, it doesn't matter what happens, there is power upon my life. This is only the third dimension. I want to touch on the fourth and the fifth one. And Pastor Gibbons is a great teacher. I'm even sure he did teach you on this. It's in Ephesians 6 verse 10 and 1 verse 19. You can find all these Greek words. But let me get to the fourth level. How many of you are hungry for Him? Just raise your hands. I feel His presence like all over me. I'm sorry. They call Jesus a madman. They call Him, this lad is beside himself. Because historical documents, he would run around naked and he wouldn't care what others would say. Because he came from another world. When I stand on this pulpit, I come from a world that is beyond this world. I have spent hours in prayer, even yesterday and the day before. I come from another world. I come from a world that is beyond. I do not see our financial problems. I do not see my sickness. Because I come from a world unseen to us. I can teach you on faith and how to bring it in the atmosphere and how it's a rebuttal and it will rebuke your circumstances. But I don't want to go in faith. But I believe that God is going to take us from faith to faith, strength to strength, power to power, glory to glory. Tonight, when you walk out of this place, I want a dimension of the glory of God to fall upon you. Within 15 minutes, the glory of God is going to fall upon your life in this place, because you are hungry. Watch my word. Fourth dimension. Say with me, Kratos is what I call the power of invincibility. Now just stay with me. This is the dimension that when the disciples prayed in Acts chapter number 4, the Bible says that the room was shaken by the power of God. The Bible isn't symbolic, meaning that, I don't know. When it says that the room was shaken, the building was shaken by the power of God. Kratos is the dimension which shakes the powers of hell. When you operate in Kratos, you are like Jesus, where they say he's a madman. When you study Jesus' life and Pilate's records and diaries and journals, they would say that Jesus would stand and preach, and his face would shine with the brightness of the sun, and he would have a flint. It's like his face is set as a flint, and it would be authoritative, and then he would change, and he would show love to a prostitute. He was crazy. He did things differently. He operated in power. Any person, myself and Pastor Gibbard were talking, any person and believer that stands on a pulpit, and I see they operate in power. When I saw Pastor Gibbard on Sunday nights, and he takes the mic with me on Monday nights, and we go into the supernatural, I know any person that has the ability to do that has paid a dear, dear price. Because the devil is only afraid of blood. What do I mean by blood? The devil is not afraid if a preacher stands on the pulpit. I hope I'm not too heavy. Is that okay? Okay. Just looks like serious. Listen, the devil is afraid if people, when preachers preach without blood, when there's no sacrifice, when there's no sacrifice of fasting, sacrifice, then I can throw quotes out, your best life now, or this or that. That's not going to make the devil afraid. There's one thing that makes the devil afraid is when he sees blood upon a preacher. When a preacher has sacrificed, and he sacrificed, and he sacrifices, and blood is being shed. I can hear when a preacher stands on a pulpit and he preaches with blood, because the devil is afraid of nothing less but the blood of Jesus Christ. I can show you scriptures where evil kings would sacrifice their sons, and just because of a sacrifice, they would win the battle, because there's power being released in a sacrifice. What am I doing? I want to provoke us to live a sacrifice life. Are you guys with me? Say Kratos. Kratos is the power of invincibility. That is the ability. Listen, Kratos goes beyond the natural realm. Kratos came into action when Jesus would resurrect somebody from the dead. Kratos goes beyond any natural law. That is when Daniel in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that Daniel was thrown in a lion's den. And the book of Hebrews says that he shut the mouths of lions by his faith. The book of Hebrews says that those warriors of faith subdued kingdoms. These guys would subdue kingdoms. These guys, the mighty men around King David, they would go out on a snowy day, jump into a pit, and kill a lion for fun of it. Another guy, Samson, would take the jaw of a donkey bone, the jawbone of a donkey, and slay 1,000 people. Come on, you guys, with me. The other man in David, around David's mighty men, the Bible says, would stand in one spot, would take a sword and begin to fight that thousands of people until the sword was stuck to his hand. It's the spirit of might and breakthrough that came upon them, which is the power of Kratos. That is when Joshua stopped the sun and he said, "Sun, stand still." That is when Jesus walked on the water and the molecular density of the water would change, because Jesus comes from another kingdom that dominates the kingdoms of this world. And when he walks on the water, this world must submit to him. That is when, I believe it was Maria Woodworth Etter or Smith Wigglesworth, documented, they would walk while they're preaching under an unction, walk off the stage, carry on walking in the air, walk back onto the stage again without noticing it. Why? Because they're in another kingdom. They carried so much power. That's when D.L. Moody would be on a train and he would go past Rochester, I believe it was the city, and he wouldn't even stop off at the train stop. He would just carry on sitting in the train, and as he stops at the train stop, the Bible says that the city of Rochester, there was an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. People began to get slain, get convicted, cried out. D.L. Moody was just sitting in the train at a train stop. One shop owner or a bartender, a manager, I believe it was, as I read the document, was said, what is this craziness that's going on? And one lady said, there's nothing crazy about this. D.L. Moody must be in town. And these men and women of God, listen, Maria Woodworth Etten would have revivals. And then the Bible says in Chicago, 50 miles in diameter, people would get slain under the Spirit of God because they operated in Kratos power. That power is the power of invincibility. That is when death cannot touch you. That is when you go beyond this world. That is where Jesus rebuked the storm, and the storm had to submit. I think this is too much for some. I think it is too much. I'll stop at 5. I'm not going to go to 6. One other day. Say with me, epikahizo. Say with me again, say epikahizo. It's the fifth dimension of God's power. This is where I want to get. I believe God's glory is going to come in 5 minutes. The power of God's shadow. That's what the word epikahizo means. This is one of the highest. I'm not going to go to 6 now. But let me just throw it out of scripture. You can go study at home. Bible says, I'll give you power to create wealth. I'll just leave it right there. Connected to Psalm 63, where he says, by the greatness of his power, he will make his enemies submit to you. That is where our ministry doesn't have a cent. And my enemies would put money in our ministry. And I say, God, what's happening? He says, Leon, I will make your enemies submit to you, even if they don't feel like it and they don't even know it. You and I serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He owns the silver and the gold. He is the uncreated, creating one. Come on, come on. No one created him, but he creates. No one takes his life from him, yet he has the power to lay it down and pick it up again. He is the CEO of CEOs. You think you need your boss's favor? You don't. You need God's favor, and your life will be changed upside down. The problem with our generation is that we can go into a courtroom and we can stand up when a judge comes in, but we cannot stand up when God comes in. We cannot raise our hands when the one who created the judge. That's why when Daniel in the book of Hebrews, he carried Kratos power, and when those lions were there, he said, listen, little lions, I carry inside of me the power that created your mouth, that created you. How is the creation going to destroy the creator? The creator is inside of us. Come on, are you guys with me? And the Bible says that Daniel, by his faith, shut the mouths of lions. It doesn't say God shut it. It says Daniel, by his faith, I see that the mouths of lions is going to be shut over your lives, over your business, over your family, because inside of you is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and his roar is mightier than the roar of the devil. The devil is going to be silenced. His voice is going to be silenced. I take authority over every lion. I take authority. The Bible says, listen, the devil comes like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. He comes like a lion. But he, listen to me, on the inside of you is that not somebody that's like the lion. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He went to the grave as a sinless lamb. but he arose out of the grave as a lion, victorious, sitting at the right hand, which is the hand of power. Say with me, epikahizo. We haven't even touched the fifth level. Say with me, the power of God's shadow. I want his shadow to come in. Just give me a few seconds. Say with me, the secret place. Keep that in mind. I'm not going to go on that now. But the power, well, if I can say it like this, a lot of people ask me, what is the secret? It's the secret place. It's not a divine ability, although there is, I understand election by grace and all this stuff, but my secret is the secret place. When I got saved and I had nowhere, I lived in the secret place. When I lived on the streets, I lived in the secret place. When I had no success, I lived in the secret place. The Bible says, our Father who lives in the secret place, who sees in the secret place. You want to go meet God? He lives in the secret place. Now just stay with you with secret place, because this thing is going to drop like a hot, potato. Okay, it's going to drop on your spirit. Just remember secret place. Say with me, epikahizo. The glory of God is in this place. I feel like I can preach till tomorrow morning. And I believe there's going to be creative miracles, but we won't preach it till too long. Say again, epikahizo. There it is, beautiful. Five dimensions of the power of God. The word epikahizo is the power of God's shadow. Luke chapter number 1, you don't have to quote me or put it on because I don't know if I'm quoting correctly, but 35, it says that Mary, that the power of the highest overshadowed Mary. Say with me, the power of the highest overshadow. The word overshadow is epikaizo. It says that the glory of God overshadowed Mary. The result of the overshadowing was Mary giving birth to Christ. But Mary was so overshadowed with the power that when Elizabeth came walking to her from a distance, you can go start it in a word. The Bible says that Mary greeted Elizabeth. Hi, greetings, Elizabeth. That John the Baptist inside of Elizabeth's womb leaped and was filled with the Holy Spirit. Because Mary spoke from a shadow, spoke from a cloud. The shadow is the cloud of God's glory. When Mary had the overshadowing of the cloud on her, listen to me, when the cloud of God's glory is on you, you just have to say hello to someone. You just have to say greetings to somebody, and your spirits will leap on the inside of them. That's not all. Elizabeth came a bit closer, and she said, you, Mary, are the chosen one of God. You carry the Messiah. How does Elizabeth know it? When she stepped into the vicinity of Mary's cloud around her, revelation came out of her and she began to speak the words of God. You're not believing me, that's okay. Peter had a shadow. Acts chapter number 5. Peter's shadow, the Bible says, fell on people. It's not really his shadow, it was his shadow. But it speaks of also the shadow of God. His very shadow had the substance and had a vicinity, which means that the people didn't have to touch him. They said, if his shadow could just fall upon them. How large is our vicinity of the cloud of the glory of God upon our lives? That is the question. That epikahizo was around Peter, that people just had to bring him under the shadow and people will get healed. Mary had so much epikahizo around her that Elizabeth just stepped closer to her and began to prophesy at God's revelation. When the epikahizo of God comes upon you, there is no distance, there's a vicinity. I sense that the glory of God is in this place. Say with me, the power of God's shadow. Let me go back to Kratos. How do I grow in Kratos? I grow in Kratos by meditating, studying, and remembering the Logos word. That's the key. Going to epikahizo. How do I grow in epikahizo? Put for me Psalm 91 on. How do I grow in epikahizo? How do I increase the glory of God upon my life? How do I increase? You guys are going to get it now. I hope you get it. Let your spirit be alert and hungry. Let the glory come on you. How do you increase epikahizo? No, other translation. Take it off quickly. Do you have another translation? The only one. Okay, don't worry. I'll quote it. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the secret place shall be continually under the shadow of God's power, under the glory of God's power. You shall dwell and live under the shadow of God. How many of you are hungry for that? Raise your hands to the Lord. Stand to your feet, stand to your feet, stand to your feet.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. If you would like to access more resources by Hatfield Christian Church North, please visit our website at www.hccnorth.co.za.